Amen. Appreciate that. That's special this morning, this evening. Oh, this morning. This evening. I appreciate that special tonight. Just appreciated the spirit of the song, and not only just the words, but you could see that it was ringing true hearts and lives tonight. I'm going to ask for you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. It's sometimes a little bit hard of a book to find, so you can start looking there in Nehemiah chapter 2. And just want to thank you this week. It's just been an encouragement to my heart to be here and to worship alongside of you, to be involved in the services, and just to get to know you, each and every one. And me and my wife have certainly enjoyed it quite a lot. We thank the Ziegler's for their hospitality. Most every evening they had a snack and they had supper prepared for us, and it was just it was quite well, and it was good. And I want to say thank you on behalf of us, and I want to say thank you to the church for having us here, and we've really enjoyed it. I'm asking for you to stand together this evening. We are going to read a little bit lengthier of a portion of Scripture, Nehemiah chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 5 this evening. And I said unto the king, this is Nehemiah speaking, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given unto the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter was sent unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And it went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that I was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good unto me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that this closing night of youth revival, O God, that you will just meet our needs again tonight. O God, I ask that you will anoint me as I preach tonight, O God, this message you've laid on my heart, O God. Help us to take these words to heart. Help us to be true and faithful to you. In your name, amen and amen. You may be seated this evening. The book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is truthfully one of my favorite books in the Bible, and it was one of my favorite stories growing up as a kid, and we could go through this book of Nehemiah here, and if we look back at the beginning, it was when Nehemiah, he was working in the palace of the king while his people, the Jews, were struggling along in Jerusalem. If we looked at that first chapter, we can see that he got a report back that told of all the heartache and the pain and everything that was happening at this once great city. And all the walls he found were in shambles, and there wasn't anything going on to fix them. Everyone was rather content with where they were at. They didn't really feel like they needed to fix the situation, and there wasn't anything going on to do about it. And that was the sad reality that faced Jerusalem at this time in Nehemiah's life. And if we were to look in the first chapter, after Nehemiah heard this report, he goes through a prayer. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed unto God. And if we had time this evening, I would challenge you to read through chapter 1, that prayer and that powerful prayer of repentance and asking God to help him, help Nehemiah, and help his people, the children of Israel. But that's not the point I want to look at tonight. What I want to look at is when Nehemiah, after he left, he came to the king's palace, and the king noticed that there was something obviously wrong with him. And Nehemiah told the king what was going on. And as he sent Nehemiah out there, Nehemiah came to the city of Jerusalem. And he did some inspections, some surveying to see what was going on with the walls and what exactly needed to happen. And after he does this, he comes to the rulers, the leaders of the Jews, and he tells them, now is the time to build up the wall. Now is the time to get going. Now is the time to do something. He challenged them, let's go, let's do something. This wasn't the time just to sit along the sidelines and to watch it, the rest of people do it. No, this was a job that was laid before them and something that they needed to get done. And we as Christians have a job tonight, each and every one of us. Here in Jerusalem, Nehemiah told them that it was time to do it. And after Nehemiah says this, they say, let us rise up and build. They realized the task that lay ahead of them, but they also realized that there was something that they personally could do about it. They didn't have to sit there and think and plan throughout the endless ages trying to figure out what they should do. No. They thought, now is the time. Nehemiah, he brought the plan. There was no better time than now. They might as well get on it. And so they did. And throughout the next chapter, chapter number 3 tonight, which I'm not going to read, we could look at it, and it goes down through individual families. And through these individual families, it tells of where they built up the wall. And these families had the section of wall that was in front of them. And that was all that they had to worry about. That was all that they had to do. They didn't have to worry about their neighbor on the other side of the wall, how his portion was going. No, what their concern, what they were to focus on, was the wall that was coming up in front of them. The work that lay in front of them. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why they were encouraged and so diligent about this work, about building the wall, because they recognized that it was a good work. Verse number 18, it says this, that they strengthened their hands for this good work. This wasn't just something they were doing on a lazy Saturday afternoon. This wasn't something that, I'll get to when I get to. A honey to-do list, type of scenario. It wasn't one of those things. It was something that they had purpose for. It was something that they knew they needed to get done in that moment. And it certainly would not have been something that would always be fun. It might have been fun for that first hour. Maybe the first day. The first week. Maybe. But it dragged on and on. And they had to keep on keeping on, and they had to have a purpose. They had to have a goal. They had to be working there at their wall that was set up in front of them. And tonight, we have a job. We have a wall to be building up right in front of us. There is a church here this evening that needs your help. We can't be sitting on the sidelines per se. We can't be thinking it would be nice if someone helped do a certain ministry. It'd be nice if someone helped with kids' ministry. If someone started something new over here, that would be really neat to have that happen. But you sit there and think, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It's not the case tonight. We have a wall that we can be building up. And I know I'm fairly young this evening, but I've had some internship and I've had some little bit of different experience. And I have found, even more than I ever realized before, that that there truthfully is a job for each and every one of us as Christians here in our church. It doesn't have to be something massive. It doesn't have to be a big name, something that we all need to know about. But there is a task that we can do. We don't need to worry about someone else's wall tonight. We don't need to worry about if they're building their wall. We need to worry about if we are building up the wall that's right in front of us. Are we willing to step up? Are there things that we can do here in our church? Are we helping out? Are we building up our church wall right in front of us? I also find tonight that there is a community that needs reached. Each and every one of us as born-again Christians have the Great Commission. And I preached about this on our opening night of Youth Revival. The challenge to you then to go out, to tell souls about Christ. And that challenge is still true tonight. Jesus still tells us where we are to go and the witnesses that we are supposed to be unto Him and throughout our surrounding areas and throughout the world. This is a task we are called to. This is a good work that God has in front of us that we need to be participating in. We have a group of friends that we can influence. Maybe there's someone that you know isn't right with God. Maybe there's someone that you know doesn't go to church somewhere, a coworker. Are you doing your part for the wall, for the community? Are you reaching out? Are you building up in front of you? I didn't ask you how your neighbor's wall was going. I asked how your wall was going this evening. And just because you may be part of the group that's going for it, you may be part of the group that's building the wall tonight, it doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy. Nehemiah faced pressure, and certainly he faced three men that had opposition to him throughout this entire building up of the wall. They were Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And these three men would continue to harass and pressure Nehemiah and the children of Israel. You know why? They didn't want to see the walls go up. They didn't want to see Jerusalem become a mighty city again. They wanted to stop it. They wanted to stand still. And they tried so many different things, trying to get Nehemiah to quit, to give up. And it can be the same way in our lives. The devil will try to make us stop building our wall. I see, first of all, in Nehemiah 2:19, it says that they laughed them to scorn. They laughed them to scorn. They said, what are you even going to try to do? Build a wall? There's no possible way you could even do that. There's no way you even need to start. Don't even do that. And sadly, sometimes when we think we might have an idea, we might think, I can do this. People maybe say something negative or something that just rides it down a little bit. And you're just like, oh, it hurts a little bit because you wanted to do that. But then you got this laugh of shame almost. But we need to continue on through that. We can't let that shame maybe or that scorn hold us back from building the wall that God wants us to build. Our wall tonight. Not your neighbor's wall, but your wall this evening. These men, they tried to mock Nehemiah after they had started the wall. If we were to look at chapter 4, Tobiah says this. Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said in verse number 3, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He said, your wall is weak. Awful. If a fox ran on it, it just crumbles straight to the ground. There's no point. You might as well quit. You might as well give up. Because they were doing a horrible job anyway. There was no need to continue. And you'll face that type of discouragement. You know, the devil will whisper in your ear, well, you told that person about Christ and they did nothing about it. Weak. You didn't do anything. You invited that person to church, but they still haven't come and it's been a long time and no results. Your wall's weak, puny. Nothing for you to see. It's shaky. And there is no need to continue on with your task. No need to sweep the floors. No need to do anything insignificant. No one ever says thank you anyway. It's not that big of a deal. Your wall is weak tonight. And the devil, he'll try to bring that doubt in there. But Nehemiah, when he was faced with this, he ignored it. He didn't let it shake him. He continued on in the work that God had sent before him. There was no quit. There was no give up. I think of William Carey. He went to India because that is where God called him to do, where he needed to build up his wall, spiritually speaking. And for 15 years, he labored. 15 years, and finally, one person got saved. 15 years, and only one person got saved. And I'll be honest with you, that doesn't sound like good numbers to me tonight. 15 years, one person, what's up with this? And I can only imagine the pressure that was on him from Satan. The devil whispering, "You've done nothing. No one's gotten saved. No one cares about Christ. Your wall is a failure tonight." But we don't remember William Carey that it took him 15 years for one person to give his heart to God. We don't remember him for that. We remember William Carey as the father of modern missions because he was willing to build up his wall. He was willing even when it didn't make sense, even when he didn't see the results right away. And when his wall, his work might have looked weak, he still persevered on for God. And God built up his wall tonight. And we can trust in him that God will continue to help us. And we cannot give up on our wall. And now as those men, those opposition to Nehemiah realized, oh, the wall's starting to come up. And this was getting a little concerning to them. They were like, the holes are getting fewer and fewer, and they needed some drastic measures. And so they figured out, and later on in chapter 4, verse number 7, it says this, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." They figured, all right, well, we tried the other way. We tried just to say things and that didn't work. Now we got to do some physical attack. But Nehemiah, when faced with the attack, he prayed for God's protection and then he made plans accordingly. He didn't just think, oh no, they're coming for me. I need to give up. I can't keep on doing this now. It's too scary now. I can't do it. No, he made plans accordingly. He armed his workers, but they continued on. They didn't just stop. They continued on building the wall. And while we here in America, it's not a normal thing for us to face persecution in any sense. There are certainly persecuted Christians this evening. There are people that are facing it, and we don't know at what point maybe God would have us to face that. But we must be ready, even when the devil, even when Satan may attack us physically, we must continue on. No matter what may be before us, we have to keep building for Christ. We must keep on in the work of God. Finally, after the wall was almost finished, these three men decided what else could they do? So they tried to lure Nehemiah out to talk to them. They tried to, act friendly. And we're all friends now. It's not that big of a deal anymore. We really weren't that mean. Just come out here out of the safety of your walls. We can just talk in the plains. It'll be nice. And Satan, doesn't it always seem that, the work is going forward and we're resisting all the attacks and all of a sudden it's just this little sweet talk. That's not that big of a deal anymore. You don't need to be so strict in that area. You don't need to do that. God, he didn't tell you that, did he really? Just come out here. Come out here and just talk to me for a little bit. We must stay on guard. We must be careful that we don't think, oh, the work is so mighty now. The work is so invincible now that he's saying he can't attack me. Nehemiah was prepared. He said, no, I will not do it. I will not go out there. Satan, he will try to make us doubt. He'll try to make us fall. At the church that I'm the associate pastor at, we just came through our VBS just a couple weeks ago, and we had a monumental night of VBS, all the nights that pastors dream of. Oh, we had our previous record attendance in our little church was 131 people. That was the most we'd ever had for any service. And as we were coming into VBS, we were inviting, and we thought Friday night we had over 100, and we thought Sunday night is parents' night. We had a couple in our church that was going to have a free food truck. It was going to be awesome. We thought, this is great. And wouldn't you know, we had 171 people in our little church. We crammed the pews together. We put chairs out everywhere. It was awesome. The type of things that you just love as a pastor. And we had some conversations that were great with the parents. They heard the gospel. Many people who have never been in church before, who've never stepped foot in our church. It was one of those nights that you dream of as a Christian. It started out as one of those nights you dream of as a Christian. And I remember, Satan, he just couldn't let you have a good time as a Christian, could you? And wouldn't you know it, that evening, still that evening, in the most unexpected way, Satan attacked. In a way that I never even thought was going to happen. And it was like he tried to drive that point right in there and said, man, you had a good time, but I'm going to cut it off right here. Satan, he tried that. He tried to bring that division point, tried to tear apart, truthfully, as much of our bus ministry as he could in that moment. Yet that night, we weren't even done dropping all the kids off when he attacked. Satan doesn't want to see the wall go up tonight. He doesn't want to see the work go forward. He's going to fight. He's going to fight for all he's worth because he doesn't want God's work to go forward. Tonight, we're still claiming the victory. It might have hurt in that moment. There might have been a little bit of pain, a little bit of concern. But we've not stopped tonight. We can't stop this evening. We have a work. We have a wall that must go on. In the world, they won't understand. They'll mock. They'll be confused. Why are you doing what you're doing? But we must continue on. We can't quit. We can't give up, no matter who may bring the pressure, no matter the way Satan will attack tonight. Because we know that through the struggle, we have a God that will help us this evening. Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16 talks about the ending of the wall. It says this, "So the wall was finished in the 25th month, 25th day of the month, Elul, in the 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They tried all the attacks. They tried everything that they could. And when it came down to it, they were like, something happened over there that I don't understand. Something happened that God had a part of. God helped them build up that wall in 52 days. Less than 2 months, the walls were done and God had completed the work. And God guided, God directed. And when the enemies were trying to get them to falter, they soon realized that this was God's work. And if we keep on plugging away, building the wall that is in front of us, doing the task that we are supposed to do, someday other people are going to recognize it. They will see a work. They'll say, there's something different at that church. There's something different with that individual. It doesn't make sense what they're doing. But it does make sense, spiritually speaking, because it's God's work, because God is in it. And that's what will make all the difference tonight. That will what will bring everything to pass. It will be that example to those around us, to those in the community, when you keep on building the wall in front of you, when you keep on in the task ahead of you that God has given to you. And not only will God bring it to pass, but He will prosper you. Nehemiah 2, verse 20, it says this, Then Nehemiah speaking, answered them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, He will prosper us." God will prosper them for the work. Nehemiah knew it before they even began that God had promised and God would prosper. He will do it. He will guide. I'm challenging myself tonight. What can I do more to build up my wall? What can I do in my church, in my community, to reach out? I don't need to worry about someone else's wall tonight. It's not my responsibility. It's not me. I need to worry about me and God and the wall that is set in front of me, the task that God has given to me. And even when I might not feel like it, even when it might seem hard, I got to keep on plugging away. As Christians tonight, we need to step up and build our wall. We need to be that Christian example, that Christian influence. And young people tonight, I end this youth revival service with a challenge to you. Don't be afraid to step up and build your wall this evening. Don't be afraid to take those leadership positions and to continue on working in God's work. Don't let things hinder you when it may be negative, when it may hurt in the moment. God, He will prosper you, and He will bring it to pass. Let's stand this evening. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come to You tonight. God, we know that You have called us to build up our wall, oh God. You have called us to be the Christian examples that we are supposed to be. You have called us to do Your work and Your task, oh God, that only we can do. We are responsible for tonight, not someone else's, oh God. And I ask that You help us as individuals to accept that call, oh God, to accept the building of Your wall. And no matter when Satan may attack us, when Satan may bring doubt and confusion, help us to keep on persevering in You, oh God, to keep on trusting in You. And we know that You will bless us and You will prosper us and that You will bring the wall to pass, oh God. I just thank You for Your presence throughout this week and throughout this services. I ask, oh God, You will bless this church. Bless us, oh God. Help us to walk with You. Bless these young people. Help them to live lives for You, oh God. I ask it all in Your name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed this evening.